And in many denominations, this is the Sunday where many people are ordained. Good Shepherd Sunday is a great capital Sunday in the life of the church. So I wish you a good Shepherd Sunday. And for some of you who've been up all night, I want you to remember that it's a beautiful day. And we've got some wonderful work to do together. As you all know, I'm a city boy, and so my experience with sheep has been very limited. However, my first job out of college, I was sent to Bismarck, North Dakota, which in Russia is, we'd be called being sent to Siberia. I was sent to American Siberia, Bismarck. And in that part of the world, there are a lot of sheep. And I learned a lot about them. I learned that they're dirty. I learned that they're nearsighted, that they're pack-oriented. They're easily spooked. And from my point of view, sheep are really lack intelligence. I couldn't imagine having more trouble than taking care of these animals. And a couple years ago, I had a chance to see the sheepdog competition at the Arizona State Fair. And was that interesting, where the little dog and the shepherd are running around, and these sheep have a mind of their own. They go this way, they go that way. And to see that little dog chase them around all afternoon made me laugh and laugh and laugh. And it makes me wonder, why would anybody die for all those dumb animals? Well, our gospel tells us that Jesus died for us. And if you look around in people in your life, you see people who are dirty, who are nearsighted, who are pack-oriented, easily spooked, and often not intelligent. I'm talking about us. Me at the head of the line. And the miracle of Jesus dying for us is the miracle of that shepherd dying for those crazy sheep. And our lessons today are absolutely magnificent in how they all come together. In the book of Acts, we hear about how all the people suddenly realizing the depth and the scope of Jesus' love meet and talk about the apostles' teaching and fellowship. And they break bread and they pray together and they pool all their resources. And guess what? That whole generosity thing becomes so captivating. It becomes contagious, which explains how the church went all over the world in a generation. This whole question of generosity comes to us as a means of even how we start our own pilgrimage of faith. Generosity is where love starts. You know, when I was growing up, I was often often frustrated because the preacher wouldn't tell me something, wouldn't tell me, you know, how do we get started on these things? What do you do to be a faithful person? And so for you high school kids that are here today, I'm glad you're here because you're going to hear the sermon I wish I heard when I was your age, because I didn't get the connection for a long time that generosity is how this whole thing works. And what does it mean to be generous? Well, obviously, it means to be open to people around us, open to our surroundings, open to the ways in which we relate to everybody else. It is the whole key that opens the door of faith. My Chicago bishop has just retired, Bishop Purcell, and for years he was dean of the cathedral in Cleveland. Prior to that, he was here in town at St. John's for many years. And he told me a story that I just loved. His sixth graders had just had a speaker from Africa. And the speaker had told him about a church that had burned down and it could be rebuilt for $20,000. So the sixth graders came to Bishop Purcell's office, Dean Purcell at the time, and said, "We want to help. We want to raise $20,000. Now, you all know what it's like. You remember what it's like to be in sixth grade. You know, nothing's impossible to a sixth grader. 20 grand? Come on. No problem. And so Bishop Purcell gave him encouragement and said, "Well, go ahead." And 4 months later, these kids had raised 20 grand. Connor, I want you to pay attention. You're in fifth grade. Come on, you guys. They only need $500,000. Be sure to tell the sixth graders and next year's sixth graders. And you high school guys, don't just sit there. Come on. $400,000, piece of cake. Because you see what happens out of this whole thing is that that when we open our hearts, all kinds of magic begins to happen. It's right there in the first line of our reading of the book of Acts. In our diocese in Chicago, we have our companion diocese. One of them is the Diocese of Rink, which is in the Sudan, which is in a war zone, right on the edge of the war zone. And, of course, the government of Sudan hates Christians. And so the Bible College in the town of Rink, which is right on the Nile in Sudan, the government decided they needed to put a highway right through the Bible College. So the bulldozer showed up one day and just obliterated the Bible College for their road. And the people of St. Mark's Church in Barrington heard about this and within a few months had raised the $50,000 to build the new Bible College in Rank. You know, this whole thing of generosity is what really turns people on. And I remember friends of mine in Chicago confiding to me at coffee hour one day that they'd finally made it to $1,000 a Sunday. And these were not rich people. And they had five kids, all of whom had to get into college. But through scrimping and saving and everything else, that was a goal that the family had. And the kids participated, the parents participated, and it was to their great joy and satisfaction to write that check every week for $1,000. This generosity thing is contagious. This generosity thing turns us on. And it isn't like this is painful stuff. This is inspiring. And this is what makes our world go round. It's how love rolls up its sleeves and finds things to do in this busy and broken world. Generosity also opens our ability to offer ourselves to others. Some of us can't write a check for $1,000 a week, but some of us can do all kinds of things with our lives to enrich the lives of others, to turn our hearts inside out and live with our hearts on the outside, on our sleeves. You know, this is a tough community to grow up in. I don't know if you know this, but Palos Verdes is a very tough community to grow up in. There's an awful lot of pressure to achieve. There's an awful lot of pressure to grab for self. There's an awful lot of pressure to see everything is about me. adults as well as kids. And so this whole notion from our gospel today is to encourage us and to invite us to go in a different direction and to say and to be the generous people who make our faith contagious. You know, one of my first memories of recent memories was meeting an interesting lady in the church office whom I hadn't been formally introduced to. And she just had finished telling some people about raising some scholarship money and what a fabulous thing it was. You can't imagine the brilliance of her smile and her face. I already warned her that I'm going to do this, but that was Johnny talking about raising scholarship money and all of it going to a student who was going to grow and benefit and reap this magnificent generosity from the efforts of lots of people. In your announcements today, there's pages about the antique show. What an effort. When I first came here and heard about that, I said, I can't believe you can do all this. How in the heck can you do this? And when the check goes out, the smile on everybody's face is absolutely the reward in itself. You know, it's a funny thing about money. On talk shows, people will talk about the most intimate things about their life. But you ask somebody, how much money do you make? They won't tell you. They won't tell you at all. That's a secret. We lock that up. For money, many of us, is a fact, a kind of a measure of how we evaluate ourselves. But when we turn it inside out and suddenly become free of that, suddenly we see money as a measure of our insecurity. And when we get to that part, all of a sudden generosity just takes over. Generosity has to do also with opening the way in which we meet people that we might not ever meet. And we see them in the streets or in airports or somewhere else. They don't dress as nicely, whatever. They might be with an accent. But in generosity, we find ways to listen and to learn and to realize that everybody is a child of God and that everybody has a story from which we could learn and benefit. And finally, generosity is the gift of imagination. I was riding home from the airplane this Friday and looking out the window, I flew over the Canyonlands, which are northeast of the Grand Canyon. You can only see them from the air. And, you know, you can't see them from ground-based Los Angeles. You can't see them when we're buried here in the smog. Any of you, when you come into Los Angeles, you know what I'm talking about? You see that brown cloud that we're about to descend into, you know, and that's our life. Broken, corrupt, surrounded with pollution, surrounded with pain and everything else, that's our life. But for a while, we're above it. And the generosity that comes to us as a gift is an ability to imagine big things for ourselves, for our church, for our lives. To see beyond the horizon, if you will. To see around corners. To see where our faith could take us. You know, the vestry just got finished reading this book called The Practicing Congregations. John Dingy is back in the corner. Raise your hand, John. If any of you would like to read this book, John will take your order. And I promise you, I'll sit down with you if you like, or else I'll promise not to do it, depending upon what you like. and read this book with you about what it is where churches suddenly find new life. And I challenge you. It's a wonderful book. And it tells story after story of churches that have found life. And it's the key to all of them is the ability to think generously. I'm indebted to both my 2-year-old grandsons. When you give them a present, if they really like it, they put it in their mouth. Jesus has given us his present, his life, and it comes back to us in bread and wine. And what are we going to do with it? We're going to put it in our mouth. The gift of God, we taste it, we smell it, we feel it, we love it, we're inspired by it, and we become living with our hearts turned inside out. All because the Good Shepherd saw to it that us dirty, nearsighted, pack-oriented, easily spooked, and not too intelligent mankind benefited from his presence with us. Let us pray.